Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, the Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Susan and I am a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is Thursday, February 19th, 2026, and we are reading from the Big Book in the chapter There is a Solution, page 20, the third paragraph, starting with how many times have people said, ending with, but there he is, all lit up again. Today's readers are Vanessa G, who will read the text, Shelley E, A Vision for You, and Cara L is our backup. Jody E is our newcomer greeter, and Leslie M will share announcements. The reference numbers for Wednesday, February 18th, 10 a.m. Eastern, is 23,220. And for Thursday morning, February 19th, 7 a.m. Eastern, 23,224. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose, OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. And I will now ask Cara L. to please read the 12 steps of OA for us. Thank you, Cara.
Good morning, Susan. This is Cara L., recovered compulsive overeater. The 12 steps. We admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. 4, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except for when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we try to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all of our affairs.
Thank you so much. I will now ask Joanne L. to please read the 12 traditions of OA for us. Good morning, Joanne.
Oh, good morning, Susan, and good morning, everybody, and especially welcome to the newcomers. I am Joanne L. from Rhode Island, recovered. The 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous are: common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous, except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. In 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you so much, and I pass.
Thank you. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. To have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker's should be muted. Today we resume our study of the Big Book. We are in the chapter There Is a Solution, page 20, and today we are reading and commenting on the third paragraph, starting with, how many times have people said, ending with, but there he is, all lit up again. I will now ask Vanessa G. to start reading and sharing with us. Thank you, Vanessa.
Thank you, Susan. Hi, everybody. This is Vanessa G., a recovered compulsive overeater in New Mexico. Okay. This is our paragraph. How many times people have said to us, I can take it or leave it alone. Why can't he? Why don't you drink like a gentleman? Or quit? That fellow can't handle his liquor. Why don't you try beer and wine? Lay off the hard stuff. His willpower must be weak. He could stop if he wanted to. She's such a sweet girl, I think he'd stop for her sake. The doctor told him if he ever drank again, it would kill him. But there he is, all lit up again. Oh, my goodness. This morning, I quickly started to write down a few of the things that I've heard over the years in response to my yo-yo weight. Since I was a kid, really. You know, some of those things were like, oh, my gosh, look, she's let herself go. Why doesn't she do something about her weight? Just don't eat dinner. Lay off the carbs. Such a pity. You're so pretty. Oh, dear. She's blown up again. Your cancer is obesity related. You have to lose weight. The surgeon won't even talk to you or meet with you regarding your hernia surgery until you do. Obese people die from COVID. Despite all of that, and also in spite of 30 years of OA meetings, I kept going back to the food until 4 years ago. I found myself back in bed with one bag of candy after another, you know, eating myself into oblivion once again. And now, the hand of God, reached out across the country in the form of a phone call. And I found this meeting. And I found others who suffered from the same disease that I suffer from. And it's 4 years later. And now sometimes I get the other side of the coin, because these people in this meeting helped me physically recover quite a bit. And so now I still get frothy emotional appeal, if you will. You know, people saying, oh, you're looking great. Oh, you can relax now. You can have a little bit. Can't you have a cheat meal once in a while? Oh, yes, it has a little bit of sugar, but very, very little. What? You didn't have cake for your birthday? Call me next year and I'll make you one you can have. Oh my gosh, how did you do it? And both sides, you know, are futile in the face of this disease. And they also create sort of this sense of shame within me. I have to just remember that the only thing that stands between me and my disease is a higher power, is God. And I don't have any, you know, defense. You know, once I was at a meeting in another fellowship, and a gentleman who used to go to this, used to come to OA on a regular basis. I met him. Well, that's it. Thank you very much for letting me share this morning. I appreciate it. And we'll save
that call you for, yeah. We'll call you for the end of the story. Thank you, Vanessa, for that very powerful share on this paragraph. And if you came in a few minutes late, what was the paragraph? It's on page 20 in the chapter, There is a Solution, the third paragraph. How many times have people said, ending with, but there he is, all lit up again. Although we value your experience, we ask that you please limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experiences too. So that counts if you go to both meetings. So who would like to share on this fabulous paragraph this morning? What I need from you is your first name, your last initial, and the state or country you are calling from today.
Jackie D.
Christina, where are you located, Jackie?
Massachusetts.
Thank you. And then did I hear a Dina or a Tina?
Christina J. Washington.
Christina, thank you. I got part of it. Thank you.
Avi V. Vancouver, Canada.
Thank you, Avi.
Carrie W., California.
Thank you, Carrie. Who else would like to join this first group of shares? All right, well, here's who I have for our first lineup. Jackie D., Christina J., Avi V., and Kerry W. So if everybody other than Jackie D. in Massachusetts could mute their line, over to you, Jackie.
Hello, this is Jackie D. from Massachusetts. I'm very grateful to be on this meeting. Thank you so much to the speaker. This is a wonderful, wonderful paragraph. So how many times people, who are those people? To me, those people are like the normies, right? The people that don't understand our disease, right? I have people like that at work. They're like, oh, you're doing that flour sugar thing again. What? You know, you can have a little piece of cake now and just start over again tomorrow, you know. And then my disease takes over and starts to believe these people. Like, oh, maybe I can, you know. But it talks about in this book that these are just excuses, right? And the speaker alluded to many more excuses. You know, if I can work it off, I can eat this. I can work it off. You know, there's just so many. And I like this one. She's such a sweet girl. I think she'd stop for her sake. You know, nobody can stop me from picking up, like my boyfriend, my son, my anything. Nobody. I could be in the gutter and I could still want to compulsively overeat, because I have to want this solution that is in this book, that is in this chapter. I have to want it. Nobody else can give it to me. I'm a little over 30 days today, and listen, I never share on this meeting, and this is the second time this week I'm sharing on it. So as you can tell, I am willing to do whatever it takes to stay abstinent and stay close to God. And reading this book is one of the ways that I do stay close to God. And I had to do a 10-step this morning. You know, this stuff still happens. Like, life still happens. And even though I'm abstinent, but I have to clean out my side of the street, because otherwise I might want to go pick up. And today that is just not an option for me. So you know, I love vision. I love being on this meeting, and I the steps are just so important, you know. And step one, and I'm going to keep saying this every time I share. Step one, I am completely powerless over compulsive overeating, and that power has to come from God. Because I'm powerless, that power needs to come from my God. And so I'm constantly praying and meditating to get closer to my God. So with that, I will stop talking, and I will thank everybody for listening.
Thank you, Jackie D. in Massachusetts, and we look forward to continuing to hear from you. Next, we're going to Washington. Good morning to Christina J.
Good morning, Susan. Christina J. from Washington and everyone else on the line. This just, you know, reeks of rejection for me.
Oh, Christina, just, did you mute yourself? There you go.
Okay. Yeah, my back, yeah. Shame, 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 confusion on both parts. You know, they didn't understand and I didn't understand. No understanding of the allergy. So I would hide in big clothes so no one would comment. I would do everything so hard in life other than controlling the food, which I couldn't. I could control everything else. I could be the best at everything else. But I didn't want anyone to notice my weight. I was so ashamed. I can feel that again. I can feel it. My husband would say to me, I don't like those large bumps on the outside of your thighs. You know, why don't you get your fat ass off the treadmill and let me be in my garage? I mean, just the comments were horrific for the little girl in me who hurt so badly because she just wanted to be loved. She just wanted to be accepted and didn't understand what the hell was going on with this food. And, of course, it made me want to eat more. But, you know, like one other fellow said, nothing could stop me. Not even the threat of death could stop me. This allergy is a powerful demon in my body. And when it's triggered, it demands complete, complete worship. I'm going to any length to get it, no matter what anyone said to me. You know, my husband would go to work and I would go to the store. And then the shame again and the hiding again. It's a horrible, horrible place to be, this disease. The only thing that would stop me in the beginning for short periods was my burning, aching, desperate desire to be thin so I wouldn't have these comments, so I could be accepted and loved. I would stumble from diet to diet, failure to failure, and more shame and embarrassment because I couldn't control anything. It kept me from going to events. When there'd be a big event, I'd be in the bathroom trying on clothes, nothing would fit. I'd turn beet red, start sweating, and I'd feign illness not to go. Because I couldn't go fat. I couldn't take it. So I don't have to go through this anymore. I don't have to go through this anymore. Because this program has saved my backside more than I can ever be. And the only way I can be the most grateful is to go out and help others. And also to gently try and tell people to say, well, why can't they just stop? To gently say they can't. Can you stop scrolling on your Facebook page? Can you stop doing this or that? I mean, you know, you could give up examples to people that are addicted and other things, but, you know, it's not my job to do that. My job is just to be an example of God's love and to bring this great miracle. I mean, Eric, you're out there. You don't have to hear these excuses anymore. Like the one fellow also shared, she's recovering.
That's Louis time.
We don't have to go through this anymore. We don't have to hide and isolate anymore in big, fat clothes. Anyway, love you all. I pass.
Thank you, Christina J. in Washington. Next, we have Avi V. in Canada. Good morning, Avi.
Hi, everyone. This is Avi, Vancouver, Canada, recovered. I'm grateful, Susan. Thank you for facilitating this meeting. This paragraph, I don't know how it can... I do know how it can take me right back. It takes me right back to that little girl who was in so much pain, and all I wanted to do was disappear. And all I knew how to do was disappear through the food. And I just couldn't stop. And my parents would beg me. They would say, I'll give you this money. I will do this. And I'm just going to want the parents to get away from my idiotic dogs. And all the programs they tried, and the school teachers telling me that if only you could stop, and you're just so pretty, you're just so pretty, over and over again, and the shame in all of that. And then as an adult, being told that my surgery had to be rescheduled because they didn't have an operating table that could support my weight. And passing out on the couch. And it just, you know, I'm recovered today. I work this program like everything, because nothing else matters if I'm not centered with God today. It's not about the weight. And that's what people see. Like, I've let go of over 125 pounds and actually the shaming. And I just need to say this. So at first it was like, oh, you can't stop. Why can't you stop eating? And then all the praise and it's just, I would cringe at all of it. And then in this program, I actually got under my weight and people started saying, oh no, you're losing too much weight. You can't keep doing this. You have to stop. You have to eat. And there's so much shame in that too. So this disease is a master. This disease begs me to be obedient. And the thing is, if I don't have God front and center every single moment of every day, this disease, and I know this disease will get me, but it's just amazing how the visceral reaction of that paragraph and me just wanting to hug that little girl and say, God is here and it is okay. And I accept this and I welcome it. And I'm grateful today. I'm so grateful to be a recovered compulsive overeater. I will never be cured from this disease ever. And I know that, but I am so grateful. Thank you so much for letting me share and letting me be here and for all of you.
Thank you so much, Avi. Next, we're going to San Diego, California. Good morning to Carrie W.
Good morning, Carrie W. from California. Well, yeah, how many times people have said to us, I can take it or leave it alone. Why can't she or he? Oh, my gosh. It's so frustrating. You think you're insane, you know. Well, I guess I am insane. You know, I'm driven to insanity by all the shame and frustration of the food disease. You know, why can't I leave it alone? You know, I see other people taking one bite, you know, and leaving it alone, and I can't do it. It's so baffling. So it's so easy for me to beat myself up, you know, into oblivion over this disease. It was such a relief when I came in and realized that, you know, it's an allergy and an obsession of the mind. And, you know, it started to let me forgive myself. You know, I'm not just weak, you know, I'm not just having low strength and moral character. You know, I actually have the disease. That really was very freeing. And then to get into the solution, you know, now when I'm in the problem, I try and get in the solution. You know, I don't want to be in the problem. I want to be in the answer. And this program has allowed me to get there. And other people that don't have this disease just don't really understand, you know, that we will eat ourselves to death. And we will eat even though there is a threat of death. You know, at the bottom, the doctor told him that if he ever drank again, it would kill him. So, yeah, if I am in my disease and someone tells me, you know, you're going to have a problem if you keep on eating, I'm going to keep on eating because I can't stop. So it's very baffling and cunning. And, well, made me feel like I was a total crazy person. And it's so nice to know that there's a way out of that. And I feel very grateful to be abstinent today and to not have to have all that craziness going on in my brain. What a relief. It's so nice to live in serenity instead of calamity. So, anyway, thanks for letting me share. Have a great day, everybody.
Thank you, Carrie. That was Carrie W. in California. All right, before I take the next lineup of names, in case you came in a few minutes late, the one paragraph that we are commenting on this morning is on page 20. It's the third paragraph. How many times people have said to us, lots of questions in between, and ends with, but there he is, all lit up again. So if this is your third day on either vision meeting to share, please star one, unmute, and give me your first name, last initial, and where you are calling from today.
Kim P., Nevada.
Alan J.
Stephanie,
California.
Robbie M. Hold on, everyone, take a pause if you can. Hold on. Somebody from Alabama, I just heard. Who was that?
Pat from Alabama.
Okay, great. Thank you. And there was a couple of names in between. I have Kim P., Alan J.,
Wendy M.,
Robin P.,
Wendy M., Robin P. Got you,
Judy.
Mo, I got you, Judy. Thank you. Mo H., great.
Stephanie F., California.
Thank you, Stephanie. And a lot of you, I didn't get where you're from. Some of you I know, so please announce it when you chat, when you talk. So here's who I have. I have Kim P., Alan J., Pat, I'm sorry I missed your last initial, but I know you're from Alabama. Wendy M. from Colorado. Robin P., I'm not sure where she is today. Judy
Robin
I.
P.
is in California. T., sorry, Robin.
I'm sorry.
Thank you.
That's okay. Massachusetts.
Great. Then I've got Mo, who I know where she's from, and Stephanie F. So Kim P., if you could start us off and let us know where you're calling from. I know you said it, but I apologize. I missed it.
Thank you. Thank you for moderating. I'm from Nevada, and I've been sitting in on Vision since we started the Big Book again. This paragraph in the shares really moved me. You know, there is so much shame in overeating, and I've had so many of those experiences that other people have, and I was thinking about I'm free of that as I'm going out into the world, thanks to recovery and being recovered. You know, sometimes my mind is completely recovered, sometimes it's not, right? But anyway, I have been free of that as I go out into the world. For years, I just don't participate. You know, when people are standing in front of my desk talking about their diets, you know, I get up and I go for a walk around the building, whatever. You know, I don't. And that's through the fellowship and then through my higher power, but it began with the fellowship. And so I'm very, very grateful. We've heard people talk about things that have happened to them, and that's so, so important for that identification. But I kept coming back, and I have that shame at, you know, when I'm alone at night, and that's when I have to rely on my higher power. But that, and again, just as important. But the thing that struck me as I was listening was that, you know, this whole laundry list of why don't you just drink beer? Why don't you just this? Why don't you just that? It's important to remember that I am a compulsive overeater, and I can say, why did I overeat? Why did I overeat? Why did I overeat? And I can look at all these different things, but, you know, there are people in my family who went through the same things that I've gone through, and they're not obese. They don't turn to the food just to be able to exist in the world comfortably. They're able to do that without excess food. So it's important for me to remember that I'm a compulsive overeater. And it was great, and it was important for me to be here. And it was great to hear that list and hear the shares, because just yesterday I thought, maybe I really do just need to find the right diet to be happy. Not thin, not a healthy body weight, but just to be happy. So, so, so important to hear this and to surrender. Yeah. Thank you for letting me share today.
Thank you so much, Kim P. in Nevada. Next, we're going to the UK, and we have Alan J. Good morning, Alan.
Good morning, Susan. It is Alan J. And as you can tell by the funny accent, I am indeed from the UK. Thanks all for the shares. And again, this week I've got time, so I thought what best to hop on to a live vision meeting. I just enjoy all the shares, and I can relate a lot. And in this paragraph, you know, touching on the frothy emotional appeal, and I'm so glad that I don't have to keep chasing, you know, some reason why that I should pick up the food. Oh, but, you know, I've got, you know, this occasion, I want to look good, or that, or for this guy, for this date, or for whatever it is. It makes absolutely no difference. I am a gutter level compulsive overeater, and I eat no matter what. Before I found recovery, nothing was going to stop me. You know, many nights I've been indoors after a full day of binging, and, you know, having the ramifications of eating so much, because for me it was always volume. the pain, I'm sure you can imagine the bathroom stuff. It's horrible. And knowing that on both sides of my family, in the male side, there are ovulatory problems. Why am I going to do stuff that's going to bring that on much earlier? I want to live as long as possible. I don't want to die young like my grandfather did in his early 60s. I want to keep going and going. So why would I do this and all these questions? I just cannot do this on my own. But it took me 12 years in recovery to really see there is nothing else that's going to stop me. You know, 12 years in the rooms with a bit of recovery, and there I was doing the same things with food again, the crazy behaviours, the inhaling whole packets of stuff because I worked for one of the big blue supermarkets here in the UK, and food is, well, was at the time in that job, quite easy and to hold off. So, you know, I was saving the planet. I was saving this stuff from going to landfill. And, oh, but I'd had such a poor day. The same BS lies than before I came in. I was believing them all again. See, I know now there's nothing going to stop me. And being told in my teens, you know, you've got type 2 diabetes and knowing what that's going to do. Again, as I said in the story, fear stopped me for a bit. But I very quickly began to put back on the weight because I am a real compulsive overeater. When I finally accepted that, I finally took all the steps as I outlined this fantastic book and I finally found recovery. So, yeah, it can happen for a little nobody like me. I'm just another boat on the bus, as they say, but I'm so glad to be in recovery and no longer chasing these craziness to try and stop me on these diets. So, yeah, I am free of the food today quite willingly because I want to stay in recovery. And thank you all for being with me on the journey, and I'll pass there. Thanks, Susan.
Thank you, Alan. Next, I have Pat in Alabama. And Pat, if you could share your last initial with us. Go ahead, please. Pat in Alabama, are you star one-ing?
Yes. Can you hear me now?
Yes. Could you give us your last initial?
Good.
Thank you.
Sure. My name is Pat R., and I am from Alabama. And I am a very, very grateful recovering overeater. The one that got me is the doctor told him that if he ever drank again, it would kill him. But there I was, all lit up again. I remember going to the doctor. It's been it's been several years ago now. And he told me, if you don't do something about your weight, you're going to die. I had never had a doctor tell me that before. And so I had been introduced to another food program that my daughter was in, and I got in and very quickly lost the weight. However, the weight kept coming off. And after, I think I was in about a year and a half, maybe 2 years, and ended up in the hospital from malnutrition. And then the doctor tells me, if you don't gain back some weight, if you had a catastrophic event, you're going to die. You're not going to make it. So then we started playing with my foods, trying to get some of the weight back on. And now I'm on that hamster wheel. You know, you can do this, you can't do that. You can do this, you can't do that. I go back to the doctor, and I'm not on the obese scale anymore, but I'm still on the overweight scale. And it's like that just going around and around and around in my head all the time. So I gave my gift, you know, I was supposed to be doing it because it was part of my program. But I gave the gift of weighing and measuring back to myself because I had taken that away. And I am a food addict, and all my, you know, my big plate full of food looked like a healthy portion to me because my eyes are broken. So I gave that gift back to me, you know, of weighing and measuring my food. And it doesn't matter if it takes me the rest of my life to get it off. I'm the one that put it on. I'm the one that has to take it off by God's grace. So I'm going to be working this one day at a time. I'm going to keep on. I'm going to stay focused, and I'm going to keep weighing and measuring because I know that is when I have a healthy portion on my plate is when I weigh and measure that. I'm not a perfect person. Don't claim to be. And, you know, by God's grace, He's going to walk through this journey with me. So I am so grateful for the shares that I've heard. So many of them just resonate with me and are part of my patchwork quilt that's, you know, being made. So I am thankful. Thank you so much for allowing me to share. This is Pat R. from Alabama. Pass.
Thank you so much, Pat. Next, we have Wendy M. in Boulder, Colorado. Good morning, Wendy.
Yes, good morning. Wendy M., grateful, recovering, compulsive overeater. Thanks, Susan, for taking the meeting. I mean, a lot of things pop up here, right? Like, I am a person who I collect evidence that people are harming me, and then I show all of you how I'm being harmed, right? So I could say to you, oh, you know, when I got skinny for my wedding, my aunt literally cried. My dad was elated. In my past, in his side of the family, it was actually illegal to be fat. No one could be fat. She has a magnet that says a moment on the lips is a lifetime on the hips. It was literally illegal. My grandfather was a bulimic, if you can believe it. Anyways, being heavy was not okay, and my family was always upset, you know, that I was overweight. But here's the kicker. I can complain to you that they're saying to me, like, Wendy, you're such a pretty girl. You know, if only you'd lose the weight. Wendy, if you, guess what? The reason why I resent that, and the reason that it stung so much when they would say these things to me, or my father would roll his eyes when he found out how much I weighed. I could go on and on about how they did that, but here's the kicker. The kicker is that the reason it stung is because those are the thoughts I had about myself 24/7. Right? Like whenever there's a resentment, it's because I believe a lie about myself, and that's why it stings. It wouldn't sting if I didn't believe these things myself. It's what I've told myself my whole life. And it's not just with the food, right? I mean, page 52, our lives are unmanageable in every area. I had a psychiatrist say to me, if you continue to date this man, you will eventually kill yourself. And I continued to date the man. I went to jail because my out of control emotional nature, that didn't stop me from dating that other particular person. My point being that the insanity is in my head. The judgment that I have is in my head. Certainly, I can tell you, you know, till the cows come home, how I've been harmed because people have said these things to me. Sure. And do I wish they would read the big book? Do I wish they would get me? Oh, come on, just get me. Just understand me. You know, no, it's confusing to the outside world. I see that. I see that when my mother offers me, you know, pie, and I've been doing this 25 years, you know, I don't get to be resentful towards her. I get to go, wow, this must be really confusing for the outside world. And I don't need people to get me and understand me. I don't need to hand them the big book and the doctor's opinion specifically and read it to them so they get Wendy. It's not about getting Wendy. It's about, Wendy, what are the thoughts in your head today, right? So I have new thoughts. My morning thought is not about my body size or what I'm going to put in my mouth or who I resent. It's, God, what is your assignment today? Today is my belly button birthday. God, how do you want me to celebrate? How can I celebrate you, God? You have given me this new life. Unbelievable.
That's time,
I don't
Wendy.
Want to turn my... Thank you so much for letting... I pass. Thanks.
And many happy returns. Enjoy your day. Next, we have Robin T. in Massachusetts. Thank you, Robin.
Susan, did you call me? I'm Robin.
Yes, I did. Thank you.
Oh, thank you. I was unmuting. Thank you so much. Good morning. Good morning to you and everybody, and thank you for your service today. So this is, I mean, I resonate with everything everyone is saying. I can't stop from starting. I can't stop once I've started, and I would get shamed regardless. The worst shame I would get was what I do doing to myself. And still, did I say the right thing? Did I give that person a look I shouldn't have given them? I mean, my goodness, the solution is definitely a power greater than myself. And recently, I have to say, I mean, I was shamed again, you know, but this person, I was at an event, and there was a ton of food there, you know, on tables. And so the event is going on, and I was in back of the room. I was getting really, really hungry, and I grabbed some raw vegetables that I was eating. And so this friend of mine, a man, said, why, you know, look at all this food, and why are you just eating vegetables? And I was like, oh, here we go. And I said, I'm on a food plan. And he looked at me with this scowl like, oh, another person who's dieting, you know, and he doesn't know what he doesn't know, just like I didn't know what I didn't know. And I had the same thing happen at a dinner where I was, where a woman brought a dessert. Are you sure? Are you, it's really healthy. Da, 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 da. And my husband actually said to her, let's just leave my wife alone, okay? Which was, thank goodness for that. But I have no power. The only power I have is in this book. The only power I have is in the solution that's presented here in this chapter. So thanks, I'll pass.
Thank you so much, Robin T. in Massachusetts. Next, we have Judy I. in California. Go ahead, Judy.
Good morning, everybody. Thank you for your service, Susan, and thanks for everybody's share and this passage and everybody's pitches is reminding me of all the shame that I got off of my life about being fat and not being able to stop eating. And, wow, it's bringing back so many memories listening to everybody talk. Things I haven't thought about in years. But, yeah, I mean, my parents were so angry at me being a compulsive eater. And believe me, if I could have stopped, I would have. And it's a shame that it's just great to be in a place where people get that, you know, we're powerless over the disease and support around working this program and listening to people talk about the steps and listen to people how they take care of themselves and learn to love themselves. And obviously not one of us would be doing what we've done to our bodies if we, you know, were in right mind. I certainly wasn't in right mind. So I'm grateful I don't have to listen. Say those things to me today. I have a lot of people around who are just able to get what this addiction is like and how deadly it is. And for today, I don't have to fill myself with this listening. Thanks for letting me share.
Thank you so much, Judy I. in California. Next, we're staying in California, and we have Mo H. Good morning, Mo.
Well, good morning, Susan, and thank you for taking the meeting and getting all those names. My name is Mo H., and I am a compulsive eater recovered in Walnut Creek, California. I want to, the shares have been phenomenal. Thank you so much. I learn so much every day by being on this meeting. But it wasn't until I started studying the big book that I got a real insight into my disease. I was in denial, even in the rooms, in my disease. And I heard, one of the first things I heard from a person on this meeting is identify in, don't identify out. And I was trying to figure out what that meant. And, you know, when I finally somebody helped me, it was like, oh, yeah. I'm like that. Yeah. So that helped me. So if anyone is new on this meeting, please keep coming because this meeting changed my life really in 2015. And I had been in the room since 1989. So it took a while. And so this paragraph, yeah, once again, all these, wonderful people trying to be helpful to us. When I heard frothy emotional appeal, also in the big book, I went, oh, you know, that was my mom. I was a dancer from the age 3 till probably I got married at 23. And a lot of teachers, ballet teachers especially, because you're in leotard and tights, made comments. I don't remember them now, but I remember turning red and feeling shamed in front of the entire class. And it hurt, but I had nobody to talk to. I didn't understand what was going on. All I knew was to diet like the other dancers did. You know, some of them were anorexics. And, you know, so I started the diet syndrome. Diet, lose, get off the diet, gain. You know, the merry-go-round that I was on for years and years and years. And so grateful to be in this room. One of the things that I heard also on this meeting about why is if I'm asking myself why too, not other people, it's the disease talking to me. why is the disease talking to me? And what I need to do every day is combat the disease. And what I heard again, and I hear from all of you, and I do this myself, is I need to have a higher power greater than me that helps me when I'm in the, oh, poor me syndrome. And that higher power guides me every day if I take time to pause and listen. I need to slow down, which was my life was go, go, go. I need to slow down and listen. And so with that, I will pass.
Perfect timing. And we've timed today's meeting perfectly because our last share will be Stephanie F. in California. Go ahead, Stephanie, please.
Hi, everyone. Stephanie F., California. Thanks to everyone for their service. I really like this reading because I can relate it back to what happens to me almost every week at work. Yesterday we had a big team meeting, and they bring all these wonderful little snacks, and I think every single snack is on my red light list, and so I hear from them, oh, can't you just have one? And I've shared, there are several people that know that I am in Overeaters Anonymous, and I've started to be more open about, you know, if I have that little thing, I want to eat the whole box. And some people look at me a little strangely, but I don't have as much shame as I used to around some of that stuff. And yesterday was particularly interesting because they brought in something that wasn't sweet that's still on my red light list. And it was considered a healthy snack. And they were like, oh, my boss was like, oh, I brought you a healthy snack. And then he was like, I was like, well, I don't eat that. And I don't eat a lot of snacks. And he's a very large man. I've talked to him once about my 12-step program. And he got a little mad and was like, what do you eat? And all the, you know, and this stuff. And I was like, well, I just don't eat that. I was like, thank you very much. And in the past, I've used a lot of the tools when I've been in those situations. I've been texting my sponsor when he brought in something that was one of my favorites. And in the morning, I start every morning. I notice a difference when I check in with my higher power and I get centered. The day does go smoothly. And so yesterday in that meeting, I was checking in with my sponsor, saying the slogans, I love that, but it doesn't love me, and abstinence tastes better than that. So with that, I'll pass. So thanks for letting me share.
Thank you so much, and thank you, everybody, for a smashing meeting this morning. Thank you to our service team, Vanessa G., Shelley E., Cara L., Stay On with Jody E. and Leslie M. if you need a sponsor or you are an available sponsor, and also thank you to Joanne L. for reading the traditions. We will now close with a reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Shelley E., will you please read a vision for you for us? Thank you so much.
Ah, yes. Good morning. I'm Shelley E., a gratefully recovered compulsive overeater in Arlington, Texas. The Big Book, page 164. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who's still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then. Thank you.